Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the Yellowstone region. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is Friday, the 5th of June, 2026. Dozens of Laurel residents attended a tense public hearing on Election Day to weigh in on a forensic behavioral health facility proposed just outside Laurel city limits. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more from the Billings Hotel and Convention Center.
Over 30 people voiced their opposition at the public hearing, not just against the behavioral health facility, which they say is more like a psychiatric prison, but also the way it's moving ahead. According to state documents, the facility would house people who plead not guilty by way of insanity or who need further evaluation before they go to trial. Cynthia Clout is a member of Laurel Cared, a group of citizens that organized earlier this year when they learned the state had selected their community for the site.
We all here, I believe, want mental health resources for the sick individuals in our society. I don't know how many times I can explain that this is not it.
The state advertised the public hearing as a way to give input to the Board of Investments and Department of Health and Human Services on the facility's environmental assessment. Joni McKay is in her third year on the Laurel City Council and spoke directly to Board of Investments Director Dan Villa, who sat at the front of the room with a Department of Public Health and Human Services staff attorney.
This process has been messy at its best and downright questionable at its worst. This community has begged for meaningful engagement and opportunity to be heard and respected. While I appreciate your presence today and this opportunity, we all know this whole thing has not been done right.
The selected property is over 100 acres. It's located just outside Laurel city limits and the area where Jeremy Lovold says his family works and goes to school.
It is less than 500 yards from my child's educational facility. I do not want something like that close.
Kathy Herr says she feels like the state is proceeding regardless of community objections.
It's like, what part of no don't you understand?
Villa declined to speak with Yellowstone Public Radio until after the end of the public comment period. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Villa said the state shared the wrong deadline for the comment period when advertising the public hearing. He says the end of public input for the facility's environmental assessment is today, Friday, June 5th, at 5 p.m. Federal officials released the final rules for Medicaid requirements this week. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports, hiding among the nearly 400 pages of regulations is a significant change that could make it harder for Montanans to stay on the public health insurance program.
Last year, Congress passed a law that requires people on Medicaid to work 80 hours per month. They could also volunteer or get exemptions for going to school, caring for a family member, and more. But all the weedy details about how people would qualify for those exemptions didn't come out until this month. Top of mind for policy watchers is what kinds of health conditions would qualify for a medical exemption. Heather O'Loughlin is with the Montana Budget and Policy Center.
And HR 1 directed states to use existing data, which could include medical claims data, to verify exemptions.
In short, it was widely expected the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services would provide a list of health conditions that would allow people to stay on Medicaid without working.
But the rules add a new layer to this exemption.
There was no exhaustive list. Instead, enrollees will have to submit documentation that the condition they have makes it difficult or impossible to work. For example, rather than exempting all people who have Parkinson's disease, those enrollees will have to argue why their condition should exempt them. It's not yet clear how states will decide whether a condition meets that threshold or what kind of documentation people will need to submit. It was already expected that thousands of people would fall off Medicaid because of difficulty keeping up with the paperwork. O'Loughlin says this will only pour gasoline on that fire.
I think there's no question that fewer individuals are going to be able to qualify now for this exemption, which risks a loss of healthcare coverage for potentially thousands of Montanans.
Montana health officials have repeatedly said they plan to roll out the new rules July 1st, 6 months before they're required to do so. The state health department says the new rules have not changed that timeline. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Wyoming is the ninth most energy-burdened state in the nation, according to a new Sierra Club analysis of households experiencing severe budget strains because of rising energy bills. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service has more.
Between January 2025 and January 2026, American utility companies raised rates or asked for rate increases totaling $93 billion, and U.S. households paid on average $116 more in electric bills. Johanna Herro-Torres with the Sierra Club says energy-burdened households are forced to make impossible trade-offs between necessities like food, housing, healthcare, and energy.
Low-income households really are suffering the most when it comes to energy costs, and there isn't things that are available to them to help offset these costs or help alleviate this burden.
Communities of color also face disproportionately high energy burdens. Last year, home electricity prices rose by more than 9%, and home methane prices increased by 12%. Many utility companies continue to generate electricity using fossil fuels, which are global commodities subject to price spikes when supplies are impacted. Most recently by the U.S. and Israel's war with Iran and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I'm Eric Galatas.
It's tempting to assume Montana's summer wildfire season is going to be severe following the windy, dry, and warmer-than-average winter. The official outlook released this week, however, paints a more nuanced picture. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Dan Borsum is a meteorologist with the U.S. Wildland Fire Service who participated in Governor Greg Gianforte's 2026 fire season briefing. He's confident that eastern Montana is facing above normal fire potential through July.
And then July, we begin to see concerns develop in southwest Montana after the curing of some fuels, and that spreads into the Bitterroot in August.
The rest of the state, where many areas benefited from last weekend's heavy rain, is so far facing a normal wildfire season. The development of a powerful El Nino in the eastern Pacific Ocean might push rain into Montana by late summer. Again, Dan Borsum.
Sometimes that moisture gets infused with the monsoon, and then we end up having better monsoon activity than normal. So it's a little bit of a wild card.
Other state, local, and federal fire officials vowed seamless interagency cooperation this summer and aggressive initial attack on new fire starts. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
A company poised to build data centers in Butte has backed out of an agreement to purchase land for them. Sabey Data Centers terminated a $1.2 million agreement to purchase 600 acres after another company executed its right of first refusal on the property. According to Butte Silver Bow Community Development Director Karen Burns, the termination of the purchase agreement was expected by the county. Burns says Sabey Data Centers remains interested in constructing data centers in the Butte Silver Bow region. There is no anticipated timeline for when another proposal might reach county officials. Wyoming announced its first confirmed case of rabies for 2026. The Wyoming Department of Health reports in a news release this week that a rabid bat was found in a backyard of a home in Sheridan County in May. There were 6 confirmed cases of rabies in Wyoming in 2025. The most common carriers of rabies in Wyoming are bats and skunks, but any mammal can become infected. Infection comes from bites and scratches of animals with rabies. Medical officials report rabies is fatal, but it is a preventable disease. They say people should wash their bites and scratches immediately with soap and water and immediately contact a medical professional. They advise vaccinating dogs, cats, ferrets, horses, and other select livestock, and keeping vaccinations up to date. Opera Montana's A River Runs Through It is wending its way toward its premiere this fall. Norman MacLean's beloved elegy to family and fly fishing in Montana is set for its world premiere in September 2026 in Bozeman and in Missoula during October. It is the 50th anniversary of the iconic work. Opera Montana commissioned the libretto 2 years ago, bringing on Matt Foss and Kelly Rourke to reimagine the story as a live performance piece. Composer Zach Redler then worked with the librettists to shape the story as an opera. As the concept came to paper, three performance workshops over the last year tightened the book and music. In May, Opera Montana took the river through a workshop in Brooklyn to build national industry and press attention. Susan Miller is Opera Montana's general director.
A lot of feedback was that this was a breath of fresh air. A librettist friend in the industry said it was really nice to hear an opera that dealt with real people as opposed to just issues.
Over the summer, Opera Montana will again workshop the piece at five different Montana locations: Pine Creek Lodge, Red Ants Pants Festival, Riverhouse Barbecue, Warren Miller Performing Arts Center, and Sweet Pea, and at Bozeman's Duck Pond. Opera Montana's A River Runs Through It world premiere is September at the Ellen Theater in Bozeman, with additional October performances in Missoula. For more about A River Runs Through Its journey, its East Coast workshop, and its world premiere, visit operamontana.org. There's a birthday party Saturday in Lewistown for an animal once thought extinct. YPR's Kay Erickson has the details on the bash for a black-footed ferret.
Bandit is turning four, and the National Discovery Center at conservation nonprofit American Prairie is inviting everyone to meet this young black-footed ferret. The National Discovery Center is one of only about 23 organizations, including Zoo Montana in Billings, to have a live, endangered black-footed ferret. Bandit is on loan to the center from the Black-footed Ferret Conservation Center in Colorado. Black-footed ferrets were thought to be extinct until one was discovered in Wyoming in 1981. Beth Sabo with American Prairie calls Bandit their educational ambassador.
Black-footed ferrets in general are one of North America's best conservation success stories. We have innovative captive breeding programs, which has allowed us to grow the species, but black-footed ferrets are endangered.
Saturday's bash at the National Discovery Center at American Prairie will include ferret mask making, a photo opportunity with a 6-foot ferret mascot, and a chance to meet this rare prairie animal. For those unable to attend the birthday celebration, Bandit can be viewed 24/7 via a webcam at AmericanPrairie.org. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
That's The Worm for this Friday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. There'll be a Saturday edition of The Worm.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.